of the gospel, huh?
Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna get to talk a little today about something that's been on my heart all weekend, but I just haven't had the grace to really go there. But I think we're gonna go there this morning. We'll see. Just thanks for having me, Pastor. It's good seeing you again and your family. It's been a while. I guess I was here in 2011, a while back. Good to see you all. There's a lot of new faces this morning. This is Sunday morning. Who haven't I met yet? Who haven't I seen yet this week? Yeah, raise your hands. Let me see you real high. I know there's a whole bunch of folks I can see. I'm looking, I'm going. There's a lot of people I haven't seen. So good morning. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. You're probably here every week, huh? The visitor. But glad to have you. So let me do this. Gosh, this is hard, Paul. It's tough. It's Sunday morning, man. There's a lot of new faces. We've been all weekend talking about why God sent His Son. And it would seem like we should all know that because we're Christians, but in traveling the country and being a Christian for 20 years and being a pastor, I've learned that we don't have a strong answer why He sent His Son. A lot of times we think He sent His Son just to forgive us of the sins we committed. And we still have the general idea that we're going to keep doing that anyway. And that one day, when the trumpet blows, we're going to go to heaven because we prayed a prayer that accepts Him as our Savior. And that's why we think God sent His Son. But when you look in the Bible and at lots and lots of scripture of why God sent His Son, He sent His Son to redeem our lives, to restore us back to God's purpose and intention from the beginning. To put His life back inside of us. To put His nature back inside of us. God sent His Son to pay the price to get His heart back inside of us. So that His ways actually become our ways. So that His eye is actually our eye. And then all of a sudden we start seeing what He's always seen. And all of a sudden we don't see everybody's faults and weaknesses and our preferences and desires and what we wish we could change if we get them alone for 5 minutes and all that stuff. See, life taught us a certain way. But He's the one that authored and gave life. And He's the way. We were taught a way, but He's the way. And that's got to matter to us, people. We've got to get a hold of this. I can show you several scriptures where the Bible says we're to walk in a manner worthy of Him. That has a whole lot more than just a confession of faith that's going to take me to heaven someday. And actually, the word faith, I'm not sure. This is what I'm going to try to talk about this morning. But to bring you all up to speed, the reason I'm recapping this, the whole weekend we talk about this very simple and plain. The whole purpose of the cross is to restore you and me back to love, back to the heart of God. Not so that we're just loved by God, but that we become that very same thing to others. Yes. And honestly, according to Scripture, if we miss that point, we've missed the point. It's not cool to have a confession of faith to go to heaven someday and not take on the nature of the very one that's saving us. It's not cool to want to be forgiven and then not walk in mercy and forgiveness. It's not cool to want God to forgive you of everything you've ever done and then have a hard heart towards somebody. Amen. It's just not cool. Trouble is, we think it's normal and we think it's what everybody does, so we don't really challenge it in our lives because we think that's just the way we are, you know. Wonder He considers us. Well, praise God, He saved us. Saved us from what? He wants to save us from ourselves. Amen. He said, if any man come after me, any man, that means everybody's invited. It's Matthew 16, it's in there. Let any man that comes after me, let him first deny. It's simple, guys. The reason you have to deny yourself, you were never made for yourself. You were made for Him and His image. You were made for His nature and to live by His Spirit, not your flesh. So in the gospel, the flesh is crucified and the Spirit comes alive. And all of a sudden, we live by a whole new and living way, a different way, the way, His way. Amen? I'm trying to stay a little calm about this and just convey it to you. But it excites me because it changed my life because I didn't get it 20 years ago. I was frustrated. I was angry. I was so jealous and prideful. And I was a mess. And I would say I liked you. And I didn't really like you. I used to think that if God would change you, life would be better. That's what I used to think. Never thought He wanted to change me. Never thought that I might be part of the problem. Man, I was hard on my wife. I was so unloving. I felt like she owed me something because she was my wife and I went to work and I had two kids and she stayed at home and took care of me. And I felt like I was my kingdom and they were my subjects. It was horrible. I was a terrible husband and dad. People that get to know me say, I can't even imagine that. That's because I'm born again.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just born again. I'm happy about it. I was talking to a brother this morning. You know, people say they look at your joy and they say, well, you can't be that joyful. This is a thing we do. Snap judgment stuff. The fall of man taught us to be like that, by the way. Don't be proud of that. It's presumption. It's called judgment. And the only reason you can't relate to the joy because it's not in your life. So you think you have to challenge it. But the Bible says it's good tidings of great joy. So why aren't we flipped out? I'll tell you why. Because life's speaking louder than truth. And people are mattering more than him. And circumstances are deciding who we are. And how things are going is defining us. Not the Christ that lives inside of us. So I'm not sure we're really the believers that we think we are. But God can change that. I think we're good people. I think we see our need for a Savior. I think we confess and understand we've sinned. But I think we're missing the point. He wants to change the way we think and live. He wants to change the way we see each other. He wants to resolve issues. He wants to make peace. Yeah? This is a good gospel, man. See, this is something to live towards. Or you just pray over your food, and now I lay me down to sleep, and he's a part of your life. Or he becomes your life. And all of a sudden, his way is your way. Are you guys with me this morning?
Yes.
Come on, this is important because if this isn't the truth, who really cares about what we believe? Then it reduces into heaven versus hell, and all we're doing is trying to escape hell and judgment and get blessed someday by praying a prayer. Is that what it really is, or are we lights in the world? Are we lights in the world? Does the Bible say you're a light?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good girl. That's awesome. Light and salt. Yeah, I missed that.
You're awesome.
She's just hanging on. She's just on. Get up here. Get him on. Watch this. So you're something. You become something. You don't just have a confession. You don't just have a doctrine. You have a change of life. And that's what's to impact people. Watch this, guys. I'm not being mean and critical and rude this morning. I'm not being judgmental. I didn't come to tell you where you're not. I came to tell you what we're called to.
Amen.
I didn't come to point out faults. I came to point out truth.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You're called to something. You're called to have impact and influence. And if we don't have that, we're just reduced to a doctrine and a thing we believe. And we're trying to get the head nod from others. And our only incentive is the difference between heaven versus hell. Well, that doesn't change your heart. That's just self-serving too. I'd pray that prayer with you even if I didn't believe, just in case you were right. I'm serious. Guys, the whole emphasis of the gospel has become escaping hell and making heaven. The greatest altar calls we have is if you die tonight, you don't know where you're going, raise your hand so you can be sure. How does that transform your life? The gospel's all about transformation. It's about putting off the old man and putting on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who made him. The gospel is not just a confession of faith, it's a change of life. Now you have something to give. Now in your job, you become an influence. Instead of being mad at your boss, you have compassion on your boss. Instead of dreading your job, you're thankful you have one. Instead of being mad at your coworker, Billy and Johnny, and wishing you could work on the other side, you begin to have influence on them and realize you're sowing into them. Instead of praying for a new job, you embrace the one you have in faith. And all of a sudden, you don't know how to complain anymore. Because it's not about you having a better day.
Amen.
It's about you having a transformed day. Amen. And about you living for the one that sets you free from you.
Amen.
If he sets you free from you, then he sets you free from others. Because all of a sudden, people don't have to live for you anymore. You live to love. So all of a sudden you can't rub me wrong because you didn't wake up for me in my shoes. I woke up to love you. And all of a sudden you can't fail me and disappoint me because my expectation isn't in you. It's in the Lord, and He happens to be faithful. And all of a sudden I don't need you to care about me to feel special. I already feel special. So now I can love you completely in a healthy and holy way with no string attached. So it isn't I'll do you, you do me. Come on, I'm preaching this morning. Or we just going to do church, maybe just say, like the other way, yeah, I go over to verse 7. Look, that's no slam to Paul or you people. What I'm saying is you got to be careful. You don't be seduced into teaching yourself religion and just go through the function of a thing without becoming the thing.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
The biggest trap of a local pastor is just trying to have better services that people want to come to. Instead of empowering people to live effective every day within their sphere of influence, because that's what will touch our community with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your and my biggest challenge as a pastor is not just trying to have better worship, better services, and find that flow that people enjoy, where they're happy to be here, and we feel like a family, and it's good to be in the room, and oh, what a great service. But there's a great marriage between coming and going. And if we miss the going, then we don't have an as-you-go gospel. We just have a come and let your Christianity be wrapped around your church attendance. You can let church attendance take the place of knowing Him.
Yes.
It's coming out of me strong. I can't help it. It's just there. Can you tell it's there? I was trying to preach something else. Every time I come here, boy, I try to preach something else. I was trying. Could you tell I was trying to go where I wanted to go? And now I'm like, bleh. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Holy Ghost. It's ridiculous. I was trying to preach on faith. I really am. It's the faith. See, what I'm talking about is the faith. All through your Bible, you'll find this phrase, the faith. Contending for the faith. Established in the faith. He's not talking about a tool that you use to get a blessing. He's talking about a perspective and a vision you live by. Watch this. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've kept though they watch. Paul was in a race. Paul had a purpose, an agenda, and he conveyed it constantly in his writings to the people as a father to teach us. And he expected that we understood these things. And he wrote knowing that, all the time through his writings. In all of your getting, it doesn't say blessing. Get understanding. Isn't it amazing that we grew up hearing what you don't know won't hurt you? When the Bible says what you don't know is destroying.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing we grew up hearing, if I were you, I wouldn't get your hopes up. When the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, hope is the anchor of the soul casting through the veil into His presence. Isn't it amazing we grew up hearing, well, you know, what you see is... See, you all heard that down here in Franklin. See? It made its way all the way down into these Smokies. Somehow that language found its way over them ridges and down into these valleys. Watch this. The Bible says, don't you ever live by the things you see. They're subject to change. The things are unseen or eternal. And yet you grew up with a language that says, what you see is what you get. I bet we were taught by a lie. I bet we were trained by the wisdom of the world, the spirit of this age. And I bet there's a way that seems right. Oh, it seems right. You get a few friends to agree that feel like you. But I bet it doesn't produce life. So in all you're getting, that's why we do this stuff, guys. That's why we're here this morning, to stay focused and sure of what we're a part of, because we're running a race. We're not believing in doctrine. We're in a race. We're walking and living the faith because we all know one day we will stand before Him and be thankful for the honor and the shot He gave us at life in Christ Jesus. Yeah. We got this little window called life to leave a mark for eternity. Now, or you can get feeling sorry for yourself or have people issues or get mad at your neighbor. That's your choice. But the just live by faith. Amen. You get it?
Yeah.
The faith. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. See, you're missing the whole point. You're so fixed on your life, you're missing this life here.
Yes.
And we've been seduced and deceived into thinking it's all about what He can do for us instead of how He can make us more like Him so we shine. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father. Arise, shine, church. Your light has come.
Amen.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Darkness covered the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the light, it's on you. You think I believe what I'm preaching you to you, and I'm going to have people issues? And I'm going to have he said, she said, well, I don't feel what they shouldn't, well, I don't know why. Not today, friend. Tomorrow it ain't going to happen either. I'm just telling you. My days of issues are over. That's why I'm like this. So people say, well, you can't be like this. You're wrong. sit beside me on a plane sometimes. Secretly get a ticket. And you know where I'm sitting. You sit beside me and I don't know you. And you say, how are you doing? And see if I go, well, I'm hanging in there, man. Well, I guess we're doing all right. Get in a plane. You ask me how I'm doing when you buckle in that seatbelt against the window and you can't get out that little hole. Go ahead. You ask me how I'm doing. You ever grow up with a little pool cord dog?
No.
A boy that says something, you know? You ask me how I'm doing on the plane buckled in or something, that's like pulling that thing a mile. I'm going to tell you now. I just went through security to come here. Well, how are you doing, sir? And I'm doing amazing. Really?
Yes.
That's a rare answer. Amazing in this day and age? That's what people, when you say you're doing great, they think you're lying. Because they're not doing great. Because they think doing great means everything going the way they wish. Doing great is being forgiven of everything you've ever done wrong and having the Spirit of God live inside of you. And never answering for everything you've missed in your whole life, but only answering for what you live by in faith. That's doing pretty good, guys.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, you'll let things matter more that don't matter most.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. You won't let the gospel empower you to change the way you think and the way you see so it changes the way you live. Look, I'm being bold this morning with you. I'm telling you, your days of hurt, offense, and anger can end when you understand what I'm preaching and you get along with God and you put that on and you say, you know what, I'm going to start living by faith. It's not about failing, it's about becoming. And even if you find yourself slipping into some of those things you say you're not going to walk in anymore, that's where you run to God and say, Father, thank you, that's so not who I am. And I thank you for the light of my life that exposing that. There's a time I wouldn't even blink it, but I felt I had the right to feel that way. But I see it's not your heart, so it can't be my heart. Thanks for changing me, making me wiser, growing me up into you. God, thank you for letting this light shine.
Yeah.
You got to have faith to live that way. You got to have faith that rises above your feelings and your human rights and the attitudes that creep in and your two friends that tell you you should be mad. It's amazing how hurt people gravitate to people that are hurt. And they become friends. They call it their support system. Yeah, supporting the lie to make sure you stay the same. The last thing you need is sympathy and empathy. You need the heart of God inside of you.
Yeah.
You don't need somebody to come say, oh, baby, I can't believe they did that to you and call it compassion. You must be so hurt. Let's just pray right now for the peace of God. We call that ministry. No, that's enablement.
That's right. Yes.
You're actually empowering them to be broken. You're telling them you understand how they feel because you'd feel that way too. And let's pray that God intervene and give you surface peace. No, He wants to change the way you see and stop letting people decide who you are. Let the one in you decide that.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
I know you can hear what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't speak in riddles. I was in a service like this, and I'm not trying to scare you, but I started preaching, and I started preaching, and then I started preaching, and after that, I started preaching. And then I looked up, and you know how them school clocks, they have a big white face, look like full moon clocks with the big black letters that are going around, and they're big, man. And I looked up, and there that thing was, like a full moon. Look at me now. I said, I saw the time. I froze. I said, is that the time? And everybody went, huh? What? And then you heard the groan. Whoa, really? What? Nobody knew. Everybody was just like this. And we were just, you had to be there. I'm preaching. And I said, I thought the sound man, because sometimes they'll take the clocks down, like they're being spiritual, they'll take the clocks down, because you say, well, what time? And they'll take it down, like, don't worry about the clock, brother. I thought when the sound man took the clock down and then thought, hey, this isn't funny anymore, put it back up. That's what I thought happened, because I looked up and all of a sudden, there it was. You could not see it. I mean, to me, it looked that big. I'm like, I was preaching. I said, I got to stop right about where you're at. A 7-year-old girl with distress in her voice said, no!
Amen.
I said, no? Honey, I've been preaching for hours. A man over here said, 3 hours and 6 minutes. I have it recorded on my system. And see, if you weren't there, you can't really think, you preach for 3 hours and 6 minutes? I love to preach all day. I actually do in my heart and mind. I preach in the mirror at myself. I preach to a tree, man. I love it. You're amazing. I wave my branches too, man. I just preach. You're brushing your teeth in the morning. Your hair's all bent. You slept on it. You're awesome, man. I see God in your eyes, man. You're righteous. You know you're forgiven, don't you? Yeah, you do know. If you fist bump yourself in the mirror, it'll never play you, never do anything. Just boop. It's always us. You high five the mirror, you're getting it back, buddy. I can't tell you how many times I walk out of my bedroom, full-length mirror, I stop and go, are you kidding me? She's not vanity, she's not some weird, I'm not some good-looking guy. But I'll tell you who's in me. And you better teach yourself he's there. You better teach yourself that you know why you're walking out that door today, so you don't get caught up in all the craziness, and you don't let what somebody says decide who you are. And all of a sudden, they're Lord in your life. Now you're just mad, frustrated, hurt, insecure, broken, and you're letting people decide who you are. And then you sing, he's Lord, deception.
Amen.
You're just mad because a relative did you wrong. You're just mad because they shouldn't have said that. You're just mad because they know. And then you tell 2 friends that are mad, and of course you're all mad. Yeah. Makes a great talk show. People are entertained, and sadly enough, nobody wins. No, you're walking out the door to stop that man. You say, are you kidding me? Sir, I see you walk in righteousness. And I get real serious. I look in my eyes. I walk right up to that mirror. And I get right in my face. Some people can't look at their own eyeballs in the mirror because they see what they believe about themselves. Oh, I'm coming, brother. They see the past, and they see who did what. They see who touched them wrong. They see what they've been, and they see they can't even eyeball themselves in the mirror and say, "You're awesome. God loves you a whole lot." No, they feel like they're scum and dirt, and they got a low identity and low esteem. They can't even look at their eyes in the mirror. And when you have a low esteem, you know what you do? You live up to the low level you see yourself to be. When you see yourself clear, and you make that tree good, and you see yourself with the truth, truth will start flowing through your life. I'm telling you, I had a administrator of the church one time. It took her 3 days to be able to stay straight in her eyes and say, "You are precious to God, and my, he loves you." She couldn't even do it. She'd look away. She felt weird because she really didn't believe it. She just sang the songs during corporate worship. When the rubber met the road and she looked in that mirror in her eyes, she was faced with all kinds of unresolved stuff that life taught her.
Wow.
Oh, I'm on you right now. I'm being real. I care enough. I'm going to get on that plane and fly home, and here's the problem. I'm going to be doing great the next time you see me. If you do, I'll be this way or worse. So So if what I'm preaching is true and right, I might as well try to leave a deposit. If Paul's gracious enough to invite me and I'm willing to come, we might as well have at it, and maybe something will increase and shift, and maybe we'll have more impact and influence, and maybe we'll walk freer and have more joy and do more justice to our family. Maybe something will even grow, right?
Amen.
So that's why I bring it like I bring it. I ain't playing. I ain't here to just make your heart warm. I'm here to tell you who you are.
Amen.
And you look in that mirror and you say, sir, you have been forgiven by God.
Hallelujah.
All he sees through his son is your value, your destiny, and your purpose. And I can tell by looking in your eyes, you believe it. You don't find your identity through life or men or people or things. You found yourself in him. Sir, I can tell you're walking rock solid. You're on a firm foundation. You ain't on sinking sand. You're going to have an awesome day. I don't even know why you're standing here. The world needs what I see in you.
Yes.
You head out the bedroom. How are you going to get hurt and offended and let something trivial eat your lunch? It ain't even up at the table. It can't even sit at the table. He prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't change the spirit of the world. He didn't change the devil. He didn't change folks. He changed me. And right in the middle of it all, I can sit and eat and have joy and be fulfilled and be free. And don't tell me I can't. Or I'm either deceived for 20 years and a twisted man, or I'm free.
Yeah.
Our chips are on free, buddy.
Yeah.
Look, you can let little things bother you if you want and call it normal, but you're cheating yourself out of the grace of God that changes
right.
you.
Amen.
That's right.
See, well, we're all going to get hurt. No, that's why you're hurt, because you believe that.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you think people didn't do things wrong to me in 20 years? Don't you think being in ministry, everybody did everything great? Don't you think there hasn't been gossip and lies and misunderstandings? You don't take it personal, guys. You take the gospel personal, so the gospel decides who you are, so you can see this clear. Or you're offended in your defense and you're a cat in a corner and you're trying to protect yourself and justify and save face. My face is already saved. Come on! Let me ask you a question. When's the first time you met me?
2009.
We're in 2016. Now, I ain't preaching on myself here. I'm just proving a point. Was I like this? Was I intense? Was I excited? Was I full of joy?
As you are now.
So I'm worse?
Yeah.
Was I preaching the same thing?
Yes. And growing and growing and growing.
You met me back then. When you guys met me, you went out in the car and said, this can't be right. Come on, Shane. Right? You said, this can't be right. These guys, this ain't no way this can be.
That's the one we're supposed to learn.
I don't talk about it much because it draws attention to you and people want you to pray for everything and their brother and their friend and relative. It just gets crazy. But I've seen so many people healed in my life, in the streets, on airplanes, in malls, in parking lots, because of the strength, security of what I believe. I'm not insecure. I'm not self-conscious. I believe Christ is in me. And it's a sad thing because when the church sees that, they feel like they have to judge that instead of believe that. Because we're so used to how we've been. Then we feel so challenged. Well, if what you're saying is right, then I got a long way to go. And we feel, so we'd rather discount than even dare believe. And we get condemned by life instead of inspired by it. I'm just telling you, I've been around long enough, not forever, but long enough to learn these things. You know what I think's cool? They get out in the car and say, no, these guys are off. This can't be right. But here we are years later, and I've been at your church in Burlington, and I've been at your church here. So somehow we connected. Somehow we've all got on the same page. And you're still smiling. I tell people I'm going to be this way every time you see me, or worse. The reason I say it is because I'm going to know him a little bit more. Because see, I don't have a theology. I have a relationship with God. He's my Father. He lives inside of me, and I'm not ashamed. I'm unveiled. I'm in his presence today. I lay on that hotel bed and just communed with him. Why? Because he wants me in his presence.
Amen.
And I'm glad to be there. Yeah? And I'm thanking him for wisdom. I'm thanking him that his heart's inside of me. And I'm thanking him for teaching me and growing me and increasing me and empowering me and increasing my influence and my impact in people's lives. I mean, it's absolutely awesome to be walking across the parking lot and not be carrying care and worry. And is my car going to run right? And the bill's going to get paid? And I hope my wife's in a good mood when I get home. Come on, these things are real. We got all that stuff mattering so much. And somehow we're trying to apply faith to all those things because those things are what decide how we're doing. All of a sudden you don't even see the person hurt and walking by you. You don't even see. You don't even see all the things around you. You don't even understand that your workplace is a mission field without you being presumptuous and overbearing and preaching at them. Just living your life is powerful. One of the biggest prayer requests I used to get as a pastor is, pray for me that I can get a new job. Maybe especially a Christian atmosphere. Work just wears me down. People dump on me. I'm so drained by the time I get home. Please pray that God get me a new job. I'm like, no. No, I pray He balls and chains you there. I pray He make you stay there till you get a grip. How it's all become all about us, and we say it's all about Him. Just make my day go better. Make people treat me right. Make people talk to me nice. God, I'm hurt. Help me. No! Stop! When you tell them not being mean, I'm just being real. I'm being straight up. The reason you're all laughing is because you know what I'm saying is dead on, spot on, true. Self-serving prayer requests, man. I see him a lot. You question God's love because the car didn't run right and we got laid off all in the same week. That has nothing to do with God's love. That just has to do with your circumstances. God's love's already settled. Christ was crucified. You're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love, and faith works through love. If that's not true, getting laid off is going to define you, and you become a laid-off person praying to God. Instead of a son in covenant knocking on a few more doors and finding favor and letting God open another door as quick as one closed, you don't even lose a day of sleep. So you got laid off. I'm sorry you did. I wish you didn't. I'm glad you liked the job, and I'm just believing you get another one because you're in covenant with God. Stop fretting. Stop crying. Stop making a scene. Amen. Stop making it your... Stop living from crisis to crisis. Live in Christ. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden, it's the big story of my life. Oh, well, I got laid off. And then you're crying. You're on 20 prayer chains. Serious. This stuff is real. You get the paper, and you become laid off. I understand you don't. I understand I wish you didn't. I understand you have bills. I get that. But you have a covenant. You have a Father. And you have an expression in life called life in Christ that's supposed to shine. You're not to fall apart like the people that don't believe in God.
Amen.
What good does it do to come here to First Assembly if we get thrown in crisis and respond like the man that doesn't even go to church? What have we accomplished? I come here to First Assembly and serve in a ministry. Somebody does me wrong and I react like the man out there that doesn't have a clue. I bet I've missed something then along the way. And I bet I'm letting my church attendance and my ministry take the place of being Christ-like. Christianity is not church attendance. Christianity is Christ-likeness. They're not walking out of my preaching. It's way too good. Bless you, girls. Have a good day.
Get back here.
I understand. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew it wasn't my preaching. Because I don't really know that. So why would you walk out on this? It's life changing. Come on, be real with me. If you apply what I'm saying to your life from sincerity with a true heart and start praying about these things and yield your heart to these truths, wouldn't it change a whole lot in our everyday lives? Wouldn't it change our zeal, our joy, our anticipation of life, our excitement? Because most of us think life is a dread and we're praying God make us survive. So there's people out there just praying for Jesus to come back today because they don't think they can take tomorrow. They don't even care that people ain't saved and ready. They're like, hey, I prayed the prayer, pal, to heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. Oh, that's messed up. That's messed up. I'm a mess. You gotta stop praying for me. I know God answers your prayers. You better listen to me. Are you guys all right? Come on. Well, you know, life's hard. Preachers will get up and say, we understand life's not easy. Why do you even allow people to entertain that? All that does is produce weakness and give excuses for the flesh. It keeps the lie alive. Life is a blast. It's a good fight of faith because you win when you believe. You win when you keep your eye focused. If my eye is single, my whole body is flooded with light. It doesn't say unless, of course, your wife just left you, got laid off, and your car broke down. And your dog bit it. Listen, I'm glad you brought that up. That was probably Jesus. So I'm down in Alabama and I'm jogging. I'm a jogger in the summer. I like to run. I'm on the off season now. I'm about 10 pounds heavier than I like to be. But I'm there. I'm going to work on that. But I'm jogging down the road and this pit bull comes off the porch and he's coming. And I thought, well, this is a shock collar dog. He's going to come to that invisible border and he's going to be like, all barking, no bite. He's going to be like, hey, buddy. You know? And I'm jogging down the road and he's coming. He flies off that porch and off that yard and off that curb. And I thought, well, there ain't no shock collar here. Well, he don't care about the shock. He wants to bite me so bad. He's like, so I didn't know what was going on, but I just know this. In a millisecond, that dog was off the curb, had me by the side of the leg, and went, you got a main vein running up the side of your leg. There's a name for it. You can see it in most people's legs. It's a big old blue boy back here on the side of your leg. And big old canines went right in the heart of that thing. I've never seen so much blood pour out of my body. Shame it went on waste. Could have put it in somebody. They got saved. I donate to the Red Cross every chance I get. I have faith that somebody on that gurney doesn't even believe. They put the pint of blood in there and they wake up and say, I don't know why, but I have this amazing love for Jesus. It's like in my blood. I'm a faith, man. They're drawing out. They say, they now you do it with a computer, but they used to say, have you ever come in contact with anybody with hepatitis, HIV in the last? I say, are you kidding? Probably weekly. Yeah, I've been rubbing on them folks and touching them folks for weekly. I'm like, what? Excuse me? So I lay hands on them every chance I get. And I pray for them. He said, well, you better be careful. What's in them might get on you. Well, what about what's in me getting on them? Stop that. Dog bit me, right? This is just a good practical way to teach you what I'm talking about. Dog bites me in today's society. That ain't cool if you're the dog owner.
Right, yes.
Today's society, people got rights. Mm-hmm. Major rights. Every other commercial is liabilities and lawsuits. Yeah. If you took this medicine, if you had this surgery, if you did this, call this attorney, get even, get right, get your due. It's everywhere. Dog bites me. I look down, I've never seen so much blood in my life. I'm exaggerating this. I know we're having fun and laughing, and I hide the clock and things, but I'm telling you straight up. This is exactly how it happened. I looked down, my shoe was already red. There was blood in the street. It was pouring out of my leg. Never felt it. I can't tell you I felt pain. I just knew he choked me. And I looked down, that was so quick, the blood was just pouring. Lady come running out, and she said, the owner, the house, the dog owner. I smiled real big at her. I said, it's okay, honey. Your dog just bit me. Everything's going to be fine. I'll explain. Give me a towel, would you? She ran back in the house. I started walking up a driveway. She grabs the dog, pulls him in, shuts the door. Husband comes out the side door. He looks at my leg. He sees my shoes red. He sees blood. I mean, you wouldn't have been a good tracker to track me. He goes, he can't talk. He has no words. He's just sorry, overwhelmed, and probably mind spinning. Oh, this might cost us everything. I looked at him and smiled. I said, it's okay, sir. Your dog bit me. I said, but everything's going to be fine. Your wife's coming out. I'll explain. And she came out with it. I said, she's getting me a towel. She got this an old bath towel. She came running out with this towel. I said, thanks, honey. I said, listen, guys, I need you to relax. I know you're probably a whirlwind of emotions right now, and you're thinking a lot of stuff about your dog biting me. Everything's going to be fine because Jesus is in me. I live him, guys. I don't believe him. I live him. He's in me, and he makes everything. So I said, everything's going to be fine. It's all going to work out. I just need to talk to you about something. And it's not probably what you think. And I put my leg up and I said, God, I thank you. I started wiping it. And I looked. You know what a nail punch is? Like a commercial kind, a big job. It looked like he took one of them and shot it in my leg, man. You could have put my top of my pinky in there. In them canines. I mean, he bit me to the gum, baby. I'm serious. I had holes. As soon as I wiped over it, it wasn't no more blood came out. And I laughed real big, smiling like big old Tesser cat, you know. I said, do you see, ma'am? Do you see, sir? That's my Jesus. I said, no, that can't just stop bleeding like that. Just look at that. Look at my shoe. Look at that. I said, see, we keep our eyes on him. Everything about our life. I live him, I eat him, I sleep him, I breathe him. He's in
you. We're in covenant together. He's awesome.
And I said, that's why I'm not mad at you. Now listen, that's what I need to talk to you about. You guys made a mistake, man. If you're going to have a dog with that potential, you can't ever let this happen again. This is a day of mercy for you. Because if your dog bit a little child or an older person walk up this road or somebody that didn't have the heart that I had, this would be a tough day. So this is mercy for you today. This is actually God's love for you today. That your dog bit me. You see what he's capable of. You can't ever let this happen again. If you're going to keep him, you have to assure and be responsible enough as a citizen here to never let this happen again. Okay. I said, listen, not mad at you. You'll never hear from me again. And it's not a problem. Everything's good. She said, well, can't we take your stuff? Sure, we take it. I said, honey, I got 2.5 more miles. I said, then I got to do a radio thing, and I got to go preach to about 300 pastors. I said, I'll see you, okay? Look, come here. Love you. Appreciate it. I hug her. She's like, okay. You can see it in her face. What is going on? Hugged him. Appreciate you guys. Listen, you learned from today, right? Never happened. Yeah, he's not supposed to be out of that. I get all that. You gotta make sure. It never happens again, okay? And they're like, yeah. Let's see you. No, you don't have to believe me. And you say, well, I want documentation. It's amazing how we boast in our unbelief. The next morning when I woke up, actually it was when I got back from preaching. That was that night from the pastor's meeting. I never wrapped my leg. I just put my pants on and went to the radio thing and preaching, just believing it wasn't going to leave. Never wrapped it. Just believe it. Got home and took off my pants to put on the lion stuff. Those holes weren't helping. I was in a car wreck once and blood was pouring down my face and I put my index finger inside the gash. By the time the paramedics got there, they said, oh, it's just a little cut. You don't have to believe me. The whole reason it happened, because I'm not mad at people. I hugged the boy that hit me with no insurance or license and told him on his way to jail handcuffed, listen, buddy, you made a big mistake tonight. And society will mark you for it, but it doesn't have to be your life, your heritage, and your story. You have a greater purpose and a greater destiny than what happened tonight. Son, you have great value. The reason I'm not mad at you, you're a lot more than what you chose to do tonight. I'm going to be praying for you, and I'm believing the best for you. You go after Jesus, and you find out who he is, because he's in me, and that's why I ain't hating you and mad at you. Because this boy hit us through a stop sign and should have killed us all. We had to crawl out of my truck. There was only enough space for my kids and me to be in a little space, and we had to bust out of the hole on the side of the truck and crawl to pull my kids out. And I hugged him and kissed him on the forehead and told him Jesus loves him. And them cops are standing there like, what? I'll tell you what's going on. Christ in me. Kingdom of God is in me. Go preach saved. Go preach saved. Kingdom of God is at hand. Why do we think that's a bullhorn? Get saved or you're going to hell. Get saved or you're going to hell. Jesus never ever preached that. You know why he didn't preach that? Because when you preach that, you inspire people to come to God for what he can do for them instead of the beauty of who he is. Preaching the gospel is walking in love. Preaching the gospel is not getting offended. Preaching the gospel is not taking offense and judging people and doing harm to people. Preaching the gospel is not returning evil for evil, but overcoming evil with good. That's preaching the gospel. So you're in that car wreck and you hug that man. The policeman, I got home from that thing, man. It's a long story, but I got home from that thing and I heard my daughter say to my wife, it makes you cry. You run to your bedroom and cry because it's a daddy's dream fulfilled, man. Your daughter's 14 or 13 and she says, Mommy, you don't understand the accident we were in. It was a terrible accident. You can't even recognize daddy's truck. And it was so bad. And when I'd see those kind of cars sitting in driveways and parking lots and garages, and I would figure, and fear would come over me because I thought, ooh, somebody was in that car. It's just a little girl. And she said, Mommy, we were in a wreck like that. She said, but I couldn't be afraid. Mommy, I couldn't be afraid. I just kept looking into daddy's face and knew everything was wrong. That sure beats freaking out, mad at the kids, screaming, cursing, repent later. See, there isn't even really a repent later. You're actually mad. You're just saying, I guess I shouldn't have got mad. But are you really dealing with your heart? We drove home from that accident. A man from church drove me home. The accident happened right down the street from where he lived. He could run and saw it was us. We're driving the car. This is not a quiet man. This is a guy that would like to make you uncomfortable in Walmart. He would be in Walmart. He's so boisterous. He's funny. He'll be in Walmart. And he's a church member. And he'd say he knows you. He'll see you shopping. And he'd just like to make you squirm and see how much you're ashamed of Jesus or not ashamed. And he'll say, hey, does anybody in this place love the Lord Jesus? Is there anybody that's saved in the house? And Christians would be like, he's that kind of guy, man. He'll mess you up. You can be in a restaurant sitting and talking, and he'll look over and see you, and he's checking in. Like, yeah, I like a table for two, maybe what? He'll go, hey, does anybody know Jesus? Is there anybody give me a praise? Is there anybody? And he won't look at you. He'll wait for you to speak up. So he's driving in the car. He's taking us home. He's silent. And I thought, that ain't like him to be silent. And I started to think, he was thinking, people have these weird theologies like, I wonder what secrets in Stan's life that opened the door and allowed this to happen. And I thought he was thinking that. He wasn't. But I thought he was, so I asked him, because I thought, I don't want him thinking that. You know, stuff just happens. You know, sometimes stuff happens. You're just living life and stuff happens, guys. How you respond is what's important.
Amen.
I said it the first night. I've said it for 17, 18 years. When you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. If it was apple, it would be weird. You in the morning, you get a little Pampered Chef thing. And you push it to the pulp thing, you know. And it's apple juice. You'd spit it in the cup because your mind thinks it's orange. And you know call a friend and wonder what you were drinking, right? If you squeezed an orange and it was apple, would it be weird? Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? What if the devil's learned that we don't understand why we are what we've become? I wonder if he's out to prove it, just put you under a little duress, a little press, a little pressure. I wonder if he's out to test your faith and see what you really believe. See if something determines your joy more than knowing him and living him, because that's a target. You need somebody to treat you a certain way to be okay. That's deception. That thing will stay in derision for years and keep you unstable.
Amen.
So I said to him, I said, why are you quiet? I'm not used to be quiet. I hope you're not thinking. He said, oh no, brother. He'd get up driving. He started to weep. Never really seen him cry. Not that that's a bad thing. He carries himself a little bit. He's weeping. And he said, I'm just so under conviction, brother. You've been my pastor and da da da. But I just experienced Holy Ghost living that I know I ain't even close to. He said, I would have punched that kid in the mouth doing what he did if he'd threatened killing my kids tonight. I'd have punched him in the mouth and dealt with it later. Because the kid did a very not good thing. He was out. He wasn't even supposed to be driving, no license, no insurance. And he was racing through town and he blew a stop sign and we were right there. So he was really reckless, careless. Young man, not realizing the extreme of what he was doing. Just young and not thinking. You know what I'm saying? My friend, my Christian friend, street evangelist, weeping because he knew he had punched the kid for putting his family in that position and dealt with his heart. And he realized firsthand that we can walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, actually walk in love and do what Jesus said. Love those that appear to be your enemies. Not yet to add sign and petition and picket. Love them. Why would I do that? So you shall be sons of your Father in heaven. Who causes the rain and sun to come upon the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love only those who love you, what credit is that? The pagans, lawyers, the tax collectors do that very thing. That's Jesus talking, guys. You heard the gospel this morning. Just stirring and compelling you. That 7-year-old girl, she said, no. I thought of it because I just looked at the clock. I'll finish the story because it's amazing. She's 7 years old, and I said, honey, I've been preaching for hours. I said, 3 hours, 6 minutes. 3 hours, 6 minutes. I said, it's time to stop. She shook her head and said, no, I get so much out of what you say. 7 years old. It brought tears to my eyes. I was like, and I said, well, then I think I'm just going to keep preaching. She got up and did some kind of... She did something. I can't do it. My hips don't work that way. She got up and did some whoop whoop thing, and I said, no, no, stop. I got to stop. She went, so that she was the cutest thing. Next morning, she came into church Sunday morning. She came running up to me. She said, hi. I said, hey. Hugged her. Said, you were so precious. I said, you don't know how much you blessed my heart last night with your hunger and heart. She said, they call me a little prayer warrior of the church. I said, well, honey, you're a whole lot more. You are so precious and precious to God. And we're talking. And she said, well, you know, listen to the maturity of the seven-year-old. She said, you know, she honored her children's church. She said, nothing against my children's church. I actually really like my children's church, but I don't want to go there today. I want to sit up and listen to you. And I said, and I knelt down, and it gave me a chance to kind of father her without being her father. I knelt down and I said, well, listen, honey, it's simple. You go ask your parents about that, but watch. Whenever you put your parents in a position to answer yes or no, you be in a position to accept their answer, period. Don't scowl, don't mope, don't fat lip it. If they say, well, honey, I think it's best if you just go to children's church, you say, okay, awesome, great mom, thanks. Isn't that awesome you get to do that? So I get to drive away and park these little things.
Behind the scenes, and the parents would be like, yay. Way to go, man. Pass the offering plate, yeah.
I didn't give anything the first time. I don't know what's wrong with kids. I don't even know where my Bible is. I felt unarmed for a minute. I was like... So she went and asked her parents, and I didn't see her anymore. I was over talking with Chapman. I got up to preach, and I'm preaching, and there she is, three rows back, sitting between them. You know, her mom had an injury from 15 years ago in a car wreck. I saw her get healed the night I preached 3 hours and 6 minutes. We actually still pray for the sick, even though it was so late. They said I set an all-time church record for the length of a church service. I think the shortest service I preached in that church was just something that was going on. It was like 2 hours and 45 minutes. But she got healed of all the symptoms of a 15-year injury. I was down here in Charlotte Airport, and a man in the main corridor got healed of 39 years of injury from falling off the scaffold. As he was getting on his plane with 80 people like cattle trying to get on a plane, this man gets healed and cries and gets emotional, and everybody sees. He's just fine. Before that, this guy was walking and he was really, and I thought he was going to fall down the steps, and I ran to help him. And I caught him, and I thought I caught him, and he was actually okay. He turned and he laughed. He said, oh, thanks, man. It just looks like I'm falling. I'm okay. I didn't notice the six family members were standing behind me waiting for him. I'm in between with my back turned. My focus is him. I'm not putting on the scene. I'm not putting on a show. I'm not trying to draw the crowd. I'm just caring about one man because that's how I think. I'm not worried about my next flight, and I'm not thinking, I hope I don't have a middle seat. It's not that. I hope I don't have a seat near the bathroom. Somebody has to sit there. I was just in an oversale a while back, and the lady couldn't get on the plane. She never fly. She's falling apart. It was a nightmare to her. She's a married lady. She's on her own. She's fine. I heard her story. Of course she was excessive. Did she need to be that erect? No, but to her it was real. She's trembling. She said, I've got to get home. You can't do this to me. She's just freaking out. She said some choice words to the lady at the desk. And I'm like, whoa, she's not doing well. And I walked up to the agent, gate agent. I said, honey, that lady. So she said, that lady. I said, whoa, no. I said, honey, she's overwhelmed. She, yeah, but she is out of it. I said, I understand, but she's probably never going to fly. She's never in this situation. There's a reason to some of this stuff. Here's the deal. I said, I want you to just give her my seat, but don't tell her. Just give her my seat. I'll rebook and get home as soon as I can. She said, sir, you haven't confirmed the seat. I said, I understand. That's why I want to give it to her. She said, sir, no one gets that confirmed seat. I said, I know. That's probably the problem. She looks like she needs to get home a whole lot more than me. And even if she's excessive, it's where she's at right now. Let's get her home. That touches that gate agent. I didn't preach Jesus to her, and I didn't tell the lady what I did. I didn't let my left hand know what my right hand did. It's all before the Lord. So she calls her name, and she comes up. She says, "Here, Miss So-and-so, I have a seat assigned for you." She said, "Well, good, because I need to get on that plane." And the lady couldn't stand at the gate, and she said, "Well, that man over there gave you his seat." That's exactly what she did. And I'm like, "Dawg." Because it wasn't for that. But I know she heard that, and I thought, you know, if you ever fly, you know how it is when you're sure you're not going to make your flight, and then you actually make your flight, and you sit down. It's kind of like, wow, I made it. Because if you don't make it, a lot of times you got to wait a long time. It's, you can get crazy, or you just, you know, you're heading home. So I know once she sat down and took that breath of, wow, I'm making it home, and all them emotions subsided, I'll bet she thought about what that lady said. Somebody gave their seat for me. The gate agent got touched by it. So then here's the funny part. I didn't even know this. Federal law says that if the airline oversells and it doesn't work out, they play the numbers wrong and somebody gets stuck, they owe that person 200% their ticket price. So I'm sitting there with a $433 ticket. And I'm the oversell guy by choice. It's gonna be somebody. I think that sounds like Jesus. It's gotta be somebody. Somebody's gotta take the hit. I didn't know the law was there. They come up and say, "Here's Mr. Muller, we need you to sign this and read this and sign this, and a adult agent will be coming with your check in short time." They rebooked me for 2.5 hours later. That lady was freaking out and crying over a 2.5 hour wait and didn't even realize what she was crying about. I flew out 2.5 hours later. They gave me a meal voucher. I went over and ate a little meal. I watched a playoff sports game on the TV of a team that I actually like watching. And I thought, this is awesome. I had a check in my pocket to me in my name for $866. Because I was being nice. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Come on, guys. Bottom line is we can live this way.
Amen.
Now, let me just explain this, because I didn't teach anything I thought I was teaching today. But I feel good in my heart. Listen. You can't go out of this room and bite your lip and try to live this way. You become this way. And the way you become this way is first you have to want to. Now you'd be amazed. That sounds like a no-brainer statement, but there's a lot of people that really don't want to become loved. They actually hold on to their rights. They want it. They want the right to be angry. They want the right to tell you off if they feel like it. I've learned that in the church, there's a lot of folks really don't want to become loved. They want to hold on to what they've always been and bring Jesus into it. Let me ask you this. How do you deny yourself and have so many rights? How do you deny yourself and have the right to be angry, frustrated, disappointed, discouraged? How do you die? The Bible says several places in the New Testament that you didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. You die. And your life is in Christ. When you get water baptized, you die to yourself. Who was here when we read Romans 6? Was that good and powerful?
Yeah.
That was clear, huh?
Yeah.
You couldn't even flip the screen after a while back there. Pastor's like, he's back here. I was like, what happened to the screen? We're now thinking he's back there manifesting. Get alone. Watch. We all have this right. If anything's telling you can't do this, I'm telling you it's a lie. Jesus is waiting for you to do this. He paid the price, paved the way, and is waiting in the room. Wherever that is. You get alone is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be in a room. Drive in a car, take a walk, sit on a bench, just walk through a trail in the woods, take a ride on a bike, something. But start communing with Him about what we're preaching. So I said, Lord God, you know what? I don't want to live for myself. I want you to give me a conscience, awareness of what that would be and what that looks like. And I just want to change. I want to walk in love. I want to be influential. I want my life to matter. I want my life to make a difference. I want to stand before you in that day. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to look back and have regrets and have lost time. I want to redeem the time. The days are evil. I want to come out from sleep. I want to walk in the light. They're all scriptures, God's included. And all of a sudden, you're communing with God. Watch this. You're saved by grace through
faith.
Every time you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make that truth your reality. So then you are what you are by the grace of God. So you're not angry because you're trying not to be angry. You see different. You've become different. You're not even fighting off anger. It's not your response. You've been changed. The Bible says, put off anger. Put on tender mercies and loving kindness. Put to death these things that were in your flesh. Put on the new man in Christ. You see what it is? It's a prayer time. It's a communion time with the Lord. It's you getting alone with Jesus and being sincere, being real, starting and being sincere. I talked with a sister back here. I said, I'm so excited because when you talk, I can see how sincere you are. That means a good day for you. Because when she was talking, I could tell what she was saying was honest. When it's honest, grace can touch it. You're about to have the best days of your life when you walk sincere. When you're for real, when you're from the heart, start pursuing change. You see what I'm saying? I'm not just talking about that service, I need to change something. No, I'm talking about you sitting on the bed and nobody's around in the corner of that bed with the door closed. And you lift your hands and nobody's looking. And you're one of two things. You're either out of your mind and need to get a life, or he's there.
Yes, sir.
It's one of the two.
I just think he's there.
All right. I love those odds, man. Because it's not a bunch of stuff in between. He either is or he isn't. He either loves me or he doesn't. I either have this calling or I don't. So what do you believe and how are you going to live? Are you going to find some middle ground that isn't? There's no lukewarm. There's no gray zone. Come on. You take black and white and you get gray. We make the gray zone. People say, you can't be walking the fence. There is no fence. We made it. There is no fence. We made the fence. People talk about once saved, always saved. It's crazy. The only reason we talk about it is because men backslide. Just front slide.
Yeah.
I'm serious. There's a big argument in the church over once saved, always saved, and it's crazy. It's because men live in their flesh after they pray that prayer, and they have to have a backup plan for not following Jesus.
Wow.
So we get in this big war, once saved, always saved. Guys, the goal, let me say it loud and sharp and almost look frustrated and angry. I'm not mad at you. The goal is not going to heaven. It's being transformed and taken on Christ so the world knows who He is.
Amen.
It's not once saved, always saved. It's get born again, get transformed, get changed, and walk in the light as He's in the light. Walk in a manner worthy of Him and leave a mark in the hearts of men. That's the gospel. Once saved, always saved. That's weak and pitiful. It's an excuse to stay in the flesh and still try to have your cake and eating it too. There's no such thing. Stop it. You either love Him or you don't. You prove it by your life.
That's right.
Whew, that's strong. Are you alright? You alright? Yeah. Still love me? Watch. It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't want to get along with you. But I'm not here to just be your friend. I'm here to cheer. I told you I'm getting on a plane this afternoon and I'm going to be this way. Nobody can do anything about it. So you can judge it all you want. You can say, well, what did you think? You get the highest anointing you can walk in today is get out of the park and be God's assessment crew. So what did you think about that, God? Please don't diminish yourself to that low level. I think he was a little bad, I think. And then however you define me determines how you have to receive me. And that's deception. Because if you hear all the scripture I'm sharing and you really hear with your heart, you can hear I'm telling you the truth. It's just coming to you. It's coming. I shot a lot of rounds this morning. You shoot a lot of rounds, you'll hit everything in the room. There's no survivors. I've asked the Holy Spirit this. I said, if I'm going to teach in front of men, you've got to teach me to teach in a way where all the bases are covered, where there's no way of escape, where a man can't yell butt his way around what I'm saying.
Amen.
I've shared so much scripture with you just this morning. How do you yell butt it? I said, Lord, I want to teach in a way where a man, when I'm done, when I turn off the mic and sit down, I want a man to have only two choices. I hear what you're saying, and I want that. Amen. Or I hear what you're saying, I just don't want that. But don't let him say, what did he say? Because I don't believe you're sitting there going, what did he say? I talk too simple. I talk like a child. If this thing was complicated, I wouldn't be so happy. The reason I'm like I am is because I get it. If it wasn't simple, I wouldn't get it. And if a child can't understand what you're saying, you're probably not preaching the gospel. You'll see my granddaughter when she sits on services and I'm preaching. She says, Granny, that makes so much sense. Wow, some of my friends, I wish they were here to hear what Grandpa said. She gets it. Still gets it.
Now I miss her. Now I got to get her clean. She's
at my house. Please be with Jesus. Please take time with Him. Please know that He paid a price. You say, yeah, but I've been messing up. So, okay, He knows that. Get along in the room. I'm not making light of messing up. Deal with that. Get along and say, you know what, God, I've been messing up. I've been playing with things. Man, that was a strong call this morning. What am I doing? What am I thinking? Man, I give myself to you. When you're alone, nobody's there, and it's not an order call, it's just a notch deeper. There's just something. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't have a real experience in order, but if you've taken the time to be alone and pursue Him and do that, I bet you that's faith.
Amen.
I bet you there's something good going on inside of you if you're taking the time to be with Him, right? It's like this mama on the back road. It's a true story. Back, we take this little road around the city, so you don't have to go through all the lights. And I'm coming on it. She's coming with her three little kids in the van, and I'm their pastor. And they're like, look, here comes Pastor Dan. And they're all at the van window. They want to do the high thing. And they're just small, and I'm driving by. I've never seen them. I'm laughing. I'm talking. My arm's going. Ain't nobody in the truck. And she said the car just got silent. The van just got silent. Because I'm like, they said I was freaking out, and I probably was. I'm semi-calm around you. If I brought my whole heart and what's going on inside of me in here, you probably wouldn't be okay. I calmed down to share the good news. It's joy unspeakable.
Yes.
It's peace that surpasses what you can wrap your mind and understanding of. I get alone and cry and feel like I might be the most blessed man in the world, but don't let that turn into pride and presumption. I'm overwhelmed by what He's done inside my heart. And I can't calm. People say, well, you need to calm down. Today's the wrong day. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the wrong day to calm down. Well, find balance, brother. I've found balance. Christ in me. Yeah. Come on. What people are doing is they're trying to get you somewhat close to where they live. You're called to come up hither. Get your mind in heaven and not on the earth. It says anyone enlisted in the army of God never again, never again, never again entangles himself in the affairs of this life. And as a good soldier, you're to endure hardship, living the faith. Never forget who you've become and why. And don't let life speak loud to the truth, because truth makes you free. You guys good? Yeah, I feel done. And again, feeling done, I'm going to let the pastor come up here. Listen. See, because I'm in an order call, I'm praying for all kinds of stuff right now, it might be a distraction to the heart of what God's crying out. You tell God's crying something out all weekend. Pastor just said it to me. He said, you've been on the same tone all through services. He said, but I think it's good. He said, it needs to get in us. Because we've been thinking another way. We've been taught certain things our whole life. Guys, there's people in this room that you can admit it. Your whole life, all you've been taught is that Jesus is all about you making heaven someday. That's
Amen.
All we teach.
Amen.
And when you read scripture and read your Bible, if you ever get alone in the bedroom and actually open up the Bible and read it, you'll find that that's not even the emphasis. The emphasis is new life and you becoming different.
Amen.
You change it. So that other people can change through that change.
Amen.
One seed dies and falls to the ground, springs up and bears much fruit. What's your name, son? What is it?
Regan.
So watch this. He's a seed. Just like you're a seed. His destiny is a portrait of mountains. Bare mountains. That's the picture of his life. He's born and that's the picture of his life. Just an example, an analogy right to. Unless that seed dies and falls to the ground, if it doesn't, it'll die alone. At the end of Regan's journey, he still has a canvas of mountains, and they're just bare, empty mountains. But he's a tree. And if that seed just dies, so an oak tree grows up, if that seed just dies and falls to the ground, boop, squirrels come, berry, blue jays come. All of a sudden, because one seed died and fell to the ground and sprung up and bore much fruit, by the end of his journey, that whole mountain landscape is covered with a forest of trees. Why? Because Regan said, my life is not my own. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
I don't want to live for me. I want to make my life matter for others.
Yeah.
I want to stand before Him someday and be glad for my life and glad that I believe. I want Him to look at me and say, well done, Regan. You ran well, son.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, faith in his young heart says, that's what I believe. And then his life proves what he believes. Not his church attendance. His life.
Yeah.
Now watch. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you can sit back and have attitude and be hurt and whatever, all you want. You're only hurting yourself and your destiny, your potential and your created purpose. Because watch this, that attitude's never done you good. You can't tell me you're blessed in that attitude. Life's really hard in that place. I'm telling you, I'm talking to somebody. You can live this. You can run well.
And the next time I see you, you can be worse. Amen?